ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, text 25. Maham prakasha sarasya yoga maya samavitaha udayam nivyanati loko nama jamavyayam. Translation: I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Purport: It may be argued that since Krishna was visible to everyone when he was present on this earth, then how can it be said that he is not manifest to everyone? But actually he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of Kurus, when Shishupal spoke against Krishna's being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the uncommon man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as he was manifest. Sorry, I just lost this line. He was manifest only to his devotees as a reservoir of all pleasure, but to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. Internal potency. In the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yogamaya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishupanishad, Mantra 15, in which the devotee prays, Hiranmayena patrena satyas pihitam mukam tatpram pushan apribhino satya dharmaya dristaye. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yoga Maya. The Brahma Jyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Sachid Ananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his transcendental form of bliss and knowledge is covered by the internal potency of the Brahma Jyoti, and the less intelligent impersonalist cannot see the Supreme on this account. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.7 there is this prayer by Brahma: O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, O Master of all mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You are always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the atomic constitution of the material world or even the planets, but still they are unable to calculate your energy and potency, although you are present before them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is not only unborn but also avyaya, inexhaustible. His eternal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are all inexhaustible.
So, welcome everybody to today's class. We are about concluding this wonderful seventh chapter of the Gita. The introduction to the bhakti aspect of the Gita that Krishna is going to be speaking on. And we've been introduced to so many wonderful topics, especially what's wonderful to hear is the nature of Krishna. He's giving something that he never gave before in the previous chapter, something very deep, something profound, something that's in himself. We see the first verse started where Krishna says, just hear from me, Arjuna. That's an instruction. Just hear from me. Takshanu. Yatagyasnasi takshanu. Just hear from me. And the rest of the chapter, we don't hear anything from Arjuna. You notice that? The rest, we covered like 25 verses today. There's 5 more to go. And Arjuna didn't speak at all in this chapter. He's just hearing. He's just drinking the nectar that Krishna is giving. And why is that? Krishna is revealing something very, very wonderful here. If we just read, if you just look at the translation of today's verse, Naham Sarvasya Prakasha Yoga Maya Samavrita Mudayam Navijanati Lokomam Ajam Avyayam. But the translation, Krishna starts, he says, I am never. Imagine you're talking to somebody and he says, I am never manifest to those who are foolish and stupid, unintelligent. There's a certain mood coming out in that, isn't there? What's the mood? Krishna is saying something about himself, that he's feeling hurt about something. I am never manifest to these people. I don't want anything to do with them. I don't want to. It's some animosity. But it's not, Krishna will not express hatred, but it's his own feeling he's expressing. And we discussed this earlier on when he was discussing the different elements. How, why is this mood coming out? Because he's expressing himself. This is the nature of bhakti, it's expressive. It's the devotee and the Lord, that interrelationship. And it's starting. It's starting to unfold now. And Krishna is expressing himself. Why? Because these people, especially these chapters, Madhya Yashoda does a nice summary of this. I think we showed this last week. And she breaks up this whole chapter into 6 sections. So this section is dealing with the demigod aspect, from 20 to 25. So what is Krishna saying here about these demigods? He's revealing himself, but he's saying something special. He says it's less intelligent if you worship them. Antafattu kalam tesham tad bhavati alpamedesham deva deva yajo yanti mad bhakti yanti mamapi. That those who worship the demigods, they're less intelligent. Alpamedesa, less intelligent. And they will go to the planet of that demigod. But my devotee, he'll come to my planet. He'll come to me. So Krishna is assuring something there. But he's expressing himself that he's not too happy with this demigod worship. And fortunately for us, we're not involved in it. We're so fortunate that through the wonderful teachings of Srila Prabhupada, we're directly connecting with Krishna. Directly. The 2 aspects Prabhupada is discussing in the purport of the Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya connects the living entity to Krishna, and Mahamaya disconnects us from Krishna. The more we try to serve ourselves, enjoy in this material world, the Mahamaya will disconnect us from Krishna. And the more we try to serve Krishna, the endeavor for that, then Yoga Maya will try to lift us, to connect us. In a simple... So Krishna is not pleased with this demigod worship, and he's expressing himself, I never manifest myself. And it's his prerogative to manifest himself. Why should he? Why should he manifest? If there's no... Just like Duryodhana offered a whole wonderful meal to Krishna just before the war could take place. Krishna went out of courtesy, but he told him, that you think I want this food? You know, I don't need this food. But he he was expressing that he's not attracted by this. He's attracted by the devotional aspect. Bhakti namam vijananti. So the demigod worship aspect is not something he's very keen on. But he's tolerant of it because he understands that the devotee has desires. He's desiring something. He's even saying, Krishna is even saying earlier on, within this, between 10, 20 and 25, that I give the faith in the demigod that you're worshipping. It's me who's giving the faith in that. And yet you don't accept, you don't appreciate. The great quality of a devotee is that he appreciates the Lord and he gets inspiration from the Lord, from the Lord's qualities and pastimes. This gives him great strength. But the non-devotee will always criticize it. Oh, this is fictional. This is fictitious. No, how can somebody, like Prabhupada says in the purport about Shishupal, how can somebody, Shishupal took every chance, every opportunity to criticize Krishna. Oh, he just killed some water snake, Kaliya. He just picked up a pebble, Govardhan Hill. What's so great? What's so great about this? This is the same mood of our modern day scientists. This is the same mood of those who actually worship demigods also. What's the difference? It's all one. It's all, Krishna is the same as all the others. You know, I read something very interesting recently about the state of people's, the level humanity has come down. Although they are worshipping, but the level of consciousness in which they are worshipping is unbelievable. The way they are regarding the worshipable object. One very good example, seeing that we're talking about demigod worship, is this article that I brought along here. You may not see the picture, but we'll pass it around. It's called Visa Ganapati. Visa Ganapati. Visa means what? Visa is what you need to go to another country, right? You need a visa, a passport. So if you can't get a passport, you just contact this Ganapati and you'll be able to get your visa. So there's a whole amazing article here. We're just gonna, I asked Mataji, she's got a strong, loud voice, to just read the, if we can pass the mic there. Is it in the front there? Is it, works, huh? Oh, it's behind the Mridanga there. Yeah, okay. Alright, we'll just read a small extract from, just so you can see what's the plight of people's worship, what level they've come down to, what to speak of bhakti, what Krishna is speaking about here. Alright.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Visa Ganapati. Man proposes, God disposes. The wishes of modern men have changed and so has the grants of the gods. There was a time when we listened to the stories of man wishing for good wealth and prosperity. Now, there seems to be one wish that has become more than just common, and that is to clear the visa procedures soon and properly. The religious sentiments of the Chennaites are so strong that it is not surprising to find Tadir Kovils all over the city. We embarked on one such journey to find our modern gods, and we bumped upon Visa Ganapati at Pazavantatangjal. Well, Visa Vinayaga is not alone. To complete the package, there is an American Anjaneya
yeah.
at the Lakshmi Narasingha temple in the same locality, who is believed to make your American dreams come true. Quite popular with the locals, devotees offer butter to the Lord and pray to fly west with ease. Jagannatham sums it all up beautifully by saying, it's all the belief of the individual. And there's a telephone number if you wish to follow it up.
Thank you. We can pass this around. You can have a look at this and pass it around. Okay, yeah, that's a copy of it. So you can see there's American Anjaneya. Anjaneya is Hanuman. There's American Anjaneya and Visa Ganesh, you know. So, this is what demigod worship has come to. Now you think Krishna is not justified in being disturbed, especially, you know, in our modern understanding of worship. We've brought these demigods who are great personalities right down to our understanding of our needs and requirements of, we've even renamed them into, I was telling one devotee about this. I said, hey, you've heard about this Visa Ganesh and Anjaneya, America, Anjaneya and things like that. He says, hey, we should tell them about our London Ishwar. Rather London Ishwar, so, or Paris Ishwar. So this is what it's come to. So that's something from India, South India, we got that. Now, a little something from the West. It's not only demigod worship here in India, something from the West also. What's this?
Google.
Yeah, Google. Everybody knows this, right? Google, right? Anybody who uses a computer knows this, Google. But you'll be surprised to know that there's a church of Google. Have you heard of this?
No, not yet.
Yeah, now you have. There's a whole article here. It says, is Google God? Now, when I read this, I said, what are these people up to, you know? And then we went over it, and they said, how is it possible? Now, we know the qualities of Krishna, right? Omnipresent, six qualities, Sadarvash, Aishwara, Purnam. So they say Google is all present. He's present everywhere. You can get internet everywhere. I said, is that the logic? Okay. You can get internet everywhere. Is that right? Sometimes. Well, sometimes if you get a good connection. So, and then they say, well, you can get, he's present everywhere, just like God is omnipresent, Google is omnipresent. If you have any sickness or disease, you can type it in and the cure will be given to you. You can pray to Google like that. And then the most common word on the internet that's ever been used was this word Google. More than it's described here. There's six proofs. Actually, there's eight proofs here of why Google is God. Eight very interesting article. We'll pass it around. You can just scan through it. That
proof, you can pass it around.
No, huh? Google says Krishna is?
Who?
The personality
of God. Okay. So, yeah, so even on that level, you know, we have concepts of worship like this that, you know, it becomes then when Krishna naham sarvasya prakasha, yoga maya samavita, then he just deludes. Mudo, this strong word, at least here Prabhupada translates it mildly. He says less intelligent. But how he usually uses this word mudo, muda, rascal. These rascals, if he's speaking, he would definitely use this word. So Krishna is saying they're less intelligent and he just bewilders them in this way. You want to be covered over, you want to be captivated. So like this, Krishna just, his potency of covering. Now a very interesting observation, if you see the translation, we know that the external energy covers the living entity. What is the external energy called in Sanskrit? Bahiranga Shakti. External energy, Maya. We've commonly read this, we've become illusioned by Maya, we've become captivated by Maya, the illusionary energy. But very interesting in this translation, Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya is used here, but in the English translation, Prabhupada calls it internal energy. You notice that? Dhamsarvasya prakasha yoga maya samavrita. He says, Prabhupada is using this yoga maya and translating in the English as internal energy. Now the internal energy and this external energy are something we're going to be discussing a little bit. It's quite a philosophical point. But we'll go over it a little bit and try to explore it in the course of the class, okay? So, why is it that the living entity is trying to worship demigods? Because he has desire. Everyone has desire. The pure desire is to serve Krishna. The mixed desire, the contaminated desire, is to serve oneself, to enjoy oneself. And the more the living entity acts in that way of enjoying himself, the more he gets pulled. The more he has to suffer the effects of karma. Karma is a law. What kind of a law? It's a law of responsibility. Karma is a law of responsibility. One has to be responsible for one's actions. No action can be done without any responsibility. Even if it's good or bad, we have to be responsible for your actions. And one who doesn't want to be responsible, he has no choice in it. He has to face the results of his actions. But if one is serving Krishna, then automatically there is no karmic reaction. He is directly connected in his constitutional position. The living entity has the capacity to experience something higher than just the norm. That capacity is spiritual life, spiritual energy. The other entities are too covered. They're way too covered over to have realization of it. But if he misuses that, then he ends up in this situation where he wants to enjoy separately. So Krishna says, okay, you want to enjoy separately, this is the rule, then you have to endure karma. If you want some good reaction, you have to do good. If you're going to do bad, you're going to get bad reaction. So that is the law that Krishna has designed. But if we're serving Jivara Surupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, that is our constitution. And if we try to enjoy separately from that, then there's only suffering, as we know. We've tried so many times, even while we're practicing in Vaidhi Bhakti, we still have the subtleties of it there. That still haunts us, still comes back each time, makes it so difficult to move ahead gracefully. There's always stumbling blocks, there's always obstacles. So these are the things that come up. So Krishna is saying, okay, I understand that you want to enjoy, but if you're going to worship demigods, this is the result. Now, in the actual enjoyment is yayatma supasiddhati. Ahoitiki apratihata yayatma supasiddhati. That's the only way you can be satisfied. That's Krishna's advice. You can only be satisfied, the atma can only be completely satisfied if you're rendering some kind of service unmotivated, uninterrupted. Now this takes a whole lifetime of practice to realize. As we're going on every day, we are acting. But to understand that action which is unmotivated, because we're always motivated, some subtlety is always there. Be it some kind of anatta or something. And uninterrupted, we always get tired, right? We're always tired of how far we can go. But if we develop our consciousness properly as the guidelines are being given, then slowly, slowly, progression will come, advancement will come. Prabhupada is expressing in the purport that those who see Krishna, we always want to see, we always want to understand only by sight. But the first instruction Arjuna got in this chapter was, hear, takshanu, hear from me. Total opposite mood. So by sight we see, even when Krishna came into Mathura with Balaram, into the wrestling arena, and everybody saw Krishna differently there, right? So it's not only this argument that, oh, you know, we want to see Krishna. Those who saw him at that time, Shushupal saw him, all the others saw him. Why can't we see him now? Even if you do see him, what will you see? What aspect of him would you see? Because those who did see him, each one saw him in a different aspect. Each one saw him differently. The Brajbasi saw him as the lovable little child. The yogi saw him as the Paramatma. Then others saw him as the impersonal aspect, the Brahma Jyoti. We see here Prabhupada is expressing how the Brahma Jyoti is covering the internal potency. So the aspect of the internal potency that in its personified form is called Srimati Radharani. It's not a topic that we have much experience in discussing, but seeing that it's come up as part of the class today, we'll try to express something a little on it so we can try to understand. Srimati Radharani is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, feminine aspect. Krishna is the Purusha, Adi Purusha. The whole interaction is between Krishna, the energetic, and his energies. The energies, like we're discussing, internal energy here. She is the personification of that. And what is her purpose? Being the first sort of expansion of Krishna's energy. Krishna has multifarious energies. Parasa sakti vividaya suyate swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. Swabhaviki, it's his own nature. It's not different from Krishna. It's his own nature. And it's parasa sakti. It's so numerous. Prabhupada is even saying it here in the Prabhupada. Numerous living entities, numerous energies. So when I was trying to understand this, how is it here? In the Sanskrit it's saying yoga maya, and translation Prabhupada is saying internal energy. Then this is explained, then I read through Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Krishna Sangita. And in the second chapter is called The Different Energies of Krishna. Second chapter, Krishna Sangita. So it's, you can imagine he's quite a philosophical explanation is given in detail how the whole thing interacts, how the energies interact. So, but we'll try to simplify, so we'll at least get an idea of how it works. So the Adi Purush is Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. The first servitor, the first expansion of that is Srimati Radharani. She is the Swarup Shakti. It's called Swarup Shakti or internal energy, as Prabhupada has translated here, internal energy. From that we have three primary energies coming. The Ladini Shakti, the Samvit and Sandini. I think we've heard this before, right? So Ladini means the pleasure potency. Samvit, the cognitive aspect, and Sandini, that existence. Of existing. So those three main energies. But besides that, there are many other energies that act. And there are two primary that are also there. The living entity, which is the marginal energy, and the external energy, which is the Bahiranga Shakti. Living entity is Tatastha Shakti. So this whole integration of this is what, how Krishna's energies work. It's quite a complex thing, but we'll, as I'm saying, we'll try to go through this, try to catch it with me, okay? When the marginal energy, we'll work first with the marginal energy, okay? The marginal energy mixes with the Sandini, which is existence, right? When marginal energy mixes with Sandini, the living entity gets to know his own minute form. This is where Bhaktivinoda Thakur translates it, okay? That's existence. When the same marginal energy mixes with the Samvit, which is cognition, then in that state the living entity gets to understand or realize Brahman, that he is Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi, I'm Brahman, right? When the same marginal energy mixes with the Ladini Shakti, in that mixing, then the living entity experiences Brahmananda. This is how he explains it. Okay? That's the marginal, Tatastha Shakti. Move to the next one. The external, Bahiranga Shakti. When the Bahiranga Shakti mixes with Sandini, existence, external energy mixing with Sandini existence, you get the 14 planetary systems being created. When the same external energy mixes with the samvat cognition, then you get understanding of when the same energy mixes with samdini pleasure, with the ladini pleasure potency, then you experience the pleasure of the material world. When it mixes when it mixes with the cognitive samvit, then you get all the isms. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes as that. Some of the isms: altruism, imperialism, Googleism, so many isms that come up. So, and then when you move to the spiritual energy, when the same spiritual energy, third part now, mixes with samdini again, existence, then you get to know the spiritual world, Goloka. Like Krishna is saying, the mad bhakti yanti mama pi, he comes to my planet. What is that planet? Golok Vrindavan, spiritual world. When the same spiritual energy mixes with the samvat cognitive, then you get to understand the swarup, the form of the spiritual inhabitants and Krishna's avatars. He describes it like that. When the same energy mixes with sandini, with the ladini, then you get attraction for Krishna and devotional service. So what's the point in all of this? The point is, Krishna, Prabhupada is translating here as internal energy, but it's the same thing. It's yoga maya, is another energy of Krishna acting. Parasya sakti vibhideya suyate. Same energy, Radharani, but she's acting in this way to cover. That's why, you know, this is a little sensitive topic here in Vrindavan sometimes. You know, when we say Radhe Radhe, Prabhupada had advised us to say Hare Krishna. Why is that? Because when you're addressing directly Radharani, it's addressing her alone only. Radhe Radhe. She's alone there in that aspect. And what form she takes when she's alone? She takes the form of Durga. Nobody's with her at that time. You see the big Durga there in front of Chatigar? She's got the trident and she's just poking. But if we say Hare Krishna, Krishna is there. So then her worshipable Lord is together with her. So it's better to respect her or approach her together with her Lord, rather than independently. The opposite is also there. If you approach Krishna independently, without his energies, then what he becomes? He becomes like, where is Krishna represented without his energies? Like Parasuram. And what does Parasuram do? He just takes out the head of all the impious kings. Or you see Kalki. Kalki does the same thing. Kalki is going to come, the last avatar. His service is the same. Because his energy is not with him, there's no compassion. When the energy is there, together with the energetic, there's compassion. Radhe Shyam. Together. If you just approach Radharani separately, who knows what feature she'll show to you? But if you, as the Acharyas are saying, as Prabhupada has guided us, you say Hare Krishna, you always regard her with her worshipable Lord. In that way she's happy. She's not separate. Who are we to approach her directly anyway? How can we approach her directly? We can plead to her for mercy, but how, if we don't do that in connection to Krishna, why should she listen? Because her soul captivation is Krishna. She's completely absorbed in Krishna. So sometimes it can end up in a deviation where we only start to worship the energy and not the energetic. It actually becomes like Shakti worship. If you only, you know, Radhe Radhe and only Radharani, it actually becomes like Shakti worship. She's not connected with her Lord. Everything is only absorbed in, Maharaj was giving us the class the other day, and here Kadambakarna Maharaj, he was saying how Radharani takes so much time to decorate herself. Why? Just for that one moment to captivate Krishna's mind. She knows how best to serve Krishna. This is internal potency. Nobody can serve Krishna better than her. Because why? She is, this is not Mayavad now, she is non-different from Krishna, but she is the feminine aspect. Just like I know what best will please me. And only if I express that to you, then you'll understand. But I know what I want. I know what will please me. So if you approach her in that way, she's most pleased. In that way, and Prabhupada has taught us to approach her as mother. Oh, mother, please engage me in the service of Krishna. Please offer this flower to Krishna. In that way. So, I lost my thought a bit. So in this particular verse, so we explore the point of internal energy. Why? What is this internal energy? It's Srimati Radhe. She's not expressed. Actually, throughout the Gita, you'll never see her name. But when it comes to the devotees, Mahatmanastu Mam Partha Devim Prakriti Astata. That's the only time we get some understanding of her potent of who she is. Even in the Bhagavatam, her name is not spoken. So how we just go around chanting her name like that? So we should take the guidance of the acharyas. They know what they're saying and why they're saying it. If our consciousness is proper, then anything is, the mercy automatically comes. Prabhupada is saying in the purport also that the scientists, they cannot understand like this, because their way of understanding is not through devotion. It's through seeing. If their consciousness is not aligned with seeing, it's not scientific. We don't accept it. So Prabhupada gives a nice example of this, that a man who appreciates money, it takes a special kind of person who appreciates money, right? We all have some kind of money. But it takes a special kind of person who's just attached to money, or just attracted to money. But if the same person sees a little child playing with some money, the child doesn't have consciousness of its value. Therefore he cannot see, he cannot understand what is the, to him it's just a piece of paper. Right? We have a little demo here. Okay. So that everybody gets up. I don't know if you can read it. Just a little happy face there. Worth 1,000 rupees written on it. Yeah. 1,000 rupees, right? Does this have any value? Does this have any value? Anybody? No, it doesn't have any value because I wrote this. I made this. So it doesn't have any value. I can tear it. It means nothing. Okay? Alright. But if I take this out, this is a check, right? Can you read, Prabhu, how much is on this check? It's too far for you, huh? Can you read how much there?
1,000,000 rupees.
Oh!
Thank you.
No, hold on. After the class. Okay, this is a check for 1,000,000 rupees. And it's a cash check.
Oh.
Cash is written there. That means anybody can cash this. It's an authorized check by the State Bank of India. It has somebody's signature on it. And it's a cash check. That means anybody can cash this, right? The first one had no value. This one has more value. Why? Because it's State Bank of India, it's an authorized piece of paper, and it's signed for 1,000,000 rupees, and there's a signature on it. If I give this to a child, what's the difference between that and this? It's the same thing. He'll still see it the same way. So this also has no value. Okay, now for the grand finale. If I take this out, everybody can see this? Yeah, everybody can, right? It's not just the pink note, right? It's a big note. But if I give this to a child, what's the difference between that and these two pieces of paper? It's the same thing. Should I tear this?
No.
Well, I'm just showing off you. Actually, it's a duplicate note.
Oh.
Yes. So this goes one step further. Although I got this from our bakery. Indranil Prabhu was very kind to lend this to me. This note looks absolutely real. It even feels real. It even smells like money. But it's a duplicate. Right? So this actually has no value than this. And this has no value than this. All this three is just pieces of paper right now. Huh? This is how this is what Krishna is trying to explain. Although this is authorized, the check was authorized, this even looks authorized. Actually, he was telling me, just as a side point, that a neighboring country is printing these and smuggling it into India. And therefore they ended up with one copy of it. And I said, hey, it looks exactly the same, man. It even feels the same. I can pass it around, but I hope I'll get it back.
Okay. Would you bring our messages in Pakistan?
Yeah. I didn't want to say it over the mic. Okay. So, it looks everything real, but it still can be. So the point is, in devotional service, the illusionary energy is so strong. Although a businessman, he's attached to money, and a child playing with money, that example I was giving there. But now, after I told you it's a fake note, I want to take it one step further. We have to approach some authority source that can verify what is fake and what is not. Otherwise it looks real. It feels real. You smell it also. It smells like money. But it, like Prabhuji was saying, it comes from Pakistan. So this is the name. Therefore, in conclusion, we need Mahatmanastu Maam Partha Devim Prakriti Astita. Why? Because the Mahatmas, they are taking shelter somewhere. If we follow them, we will get their, we will not be misguided. Where are they taking shelter? Devim Prakriti, under the internal energy. This is the same point that Krishna is. So you can see just one word like this, how it can be, although this is only 700 verses, the Gita. But if we go deeper into the Vedic knowledge, it can be expanded. Krishna only spoke 700. Actually, he didn't speak all. He spoke 534 verses. The rest were interchangeable between Arjuna and Sanjaya, like that. Dhritarashtra also, yeah. So the point is, we have to follow the path. Now in conclusion, His Holiness Kadamba Maharaj made such a sweet point the other day in the class. He mentioned about this arch that's there on Bhaktivedanta Mark, the entrance into Vrindavan. And he was saying, that's the entrance into Vrindavan, but what is the Mark, the path? It's Bhaktivedanta Mark. This is the path we're following. So if we just follow as Prabhupada has given us, he made another point after that about he quoted Satsurup Maharaj's Samadhi diaries. That Maharaj was saying, Satsurup Maharaj was saying that his greatest realization of Vrindavan is of where we're sitting right now. Prabhupada's house and Prabhupada's Samadhi. This is the entrance. Mahatmanastu Maam Partha Devim Prakriti. This is where we have to take shelter. If we learn this art of just trying to follow, not trying to act independent, not trying to worship Visa Ganesh or America Anjaneya, everything will come. Everything that we want will come. Everything that would really satisfy us will come. Otherwise, we will be hankering and not feeling satisfied and wondering what's wrong with the process. Why is it not working? We'll just end on this last story, just to show how merciful the mercy of a great devotee is. Prabhupada, I think you've heard this story also. Prabhupada was flying from, in 73 I think, he was flying from Mexico to Caracas. On the airline, the devotees, Shrutakirti Prabhu was there, and he offered Prabhupada some puff rice, muri, right? And the air hostess who saw that, she was amazed. What's this thing? I've never seen it before. And without asking, what did she do? She put her hand right into Prabhupada's plate and took out a handful of puff rice and started eating it. And Prabhupada looked at her, he didn't say anything. And she just said, oh, well, this is nice. And he said, you know, can I get your Swamiji anything? And Shruti Kirti Prabhu was so stunned, and he said, okay, just get some hot milk. She said, okay. She finished that little handful of prasad, direct of Prabhupada's plate. She went, got some hot milk, came back, and that was the end of the Leela as we've heard it, right, in the past time. 10 years later, Shruti Kirti Prabhu was preaching in East Africa. And he was doing a program, and in the program he narrated the story. And in the story he said up to this point, and how merciful Prabhupada was, and how fortunate this air hostess was to get Prabhupada's mercy like this. And then all of a sudden in the class somebody put their hand up. And says, Prabhu, you know, there's an until Leela to this pastime. There's more that went on after this. He says, what? He says, you know, we were preaching in this East Africa forest area. This was like rough jungle area. And we were going with 4x4s and we continued through this place. And all of a sudden we came to some kind of a settlement. It was urbanized a bit, but it was a settlement. And when we came there, we decided to do some book distribution. We went in there and we knocked at different houses. And when we came to this one house, we knocked at the door. And a lady opened the door. And she opened the door and welcomed the devotees in by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Bo. I said, how do you know Hare Krishna? And they looked in and she had an altar. She had the full Bhagavatam set. She had the Bhagavad Gita. She had all the books. She was offering prasad. And then she told them the story that I was that air hostess. 10 years later, it took 10 years for the prasad to take effect. But it took effect. That's the point, it took effect. So we never know if we just stick to Prabhupada, to what he's offering, and whatever else we are trying to practice and read, or, you know, all the deeper books that are there, it's like dessert. But the essence of it, the main cause has to be what Prabhupada has given us. Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's conversations, Prabhupada's letters. This is the main course. And the extra things that come up, though, that is just the dessert. That is just the sweets that come to. Without, can you just live on only sweet? Not possible. You need a whole meal. A full nourishing meal. So that's what Prabhupada is giving us. So this Bhaktivedanta Marg, the path that he has laid down for us, just stick to it. And in that way, even if we connect with the internal energy in that way, serving in that way, trying to do our best no matter what comes up, then we will be victorious. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has any comments or questions? Anybody would like to share anything?
Questions.
Normally when we think about the covering of the individual in the material world, we say that is Mahamaya. And in this particular verse, it's saying that foolish and unintelligent, the covering is Yogamaya. If you could comment on that.
Yeah.
And the second question, arising from the Ishupanishad Mantra 15, in Prabhupada's translation, he's talking about Brahma Jyoti is the covering of the internal potency. In the Buddhist faith, the belief is that a realized person, final life, goes and merges with Brahma Jyoti or Nirvana. And yet in this verse it's saying that Brahma Jyoti is the covering. If you could say a few words on that.
So the first point I mentioned in the opening part of the class, that Maya has two aspects to her. the covering, the Mahamaya and Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya connects us to Krishna, and Mahamaya disconnects us from Krishna. So Krishna is expressing himself, Yoga Maya here, under a general umbrella of internal potency. That's why I did the whole breakdown for you earlier on from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Krishna Sangeeta. That these are they interact. They're interactive. They mix in different ways to create variety. If you're acting in Krishna's service, then you will be acting under the spiritual energy. If you're acting separate from that, you'll be acting under material energy. So, the second point about the Buddhist philosophy, the Buddhists, they merge into, that's their understanding, they merge into Brahman. So, we have no dispute with that, if that is their understanding. But they don't have an idea of where that Brahman is coming from. This is coming from the effulgence of Krishna's body. This is the Krishna's effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. So, if their understanding, the highest aspect of their understanding is up to that point, then what can we say? That is their limitation of their conclusive understanding. Even they negate desire, right? They say there's no, the main teaching of Buddhism is that there's no desire. You should not desire anything. You just merge or enter into something. But even that is a desire, to not desire anything. So Prabhupada says that also. Even that is a desire. So where is the state when you're not desiring? You're always desiring. It's just that what is your desire? That's why I said earlier on, we either serving Krishna or we disconnected. If we're enjoying ourselves, that is karma. And we have to take responsibility of it. Otherwise what happens, like in the previous classes, we were saying that they accept reincarnation, they accept karma, but they don't accept reincarnation. Now karma means reaction. So if you're building up reaction, either good or bad, karma or akarma, and if your body is extinguished before it will definitely extinguish before you balance out that karma. You just keep going. You may stay for some time in the Brahma Jyoti, but because you're active by nature, you will come down again. So, the process of devotional service is a process of engagement. We engage Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. Ayasya Haridasya Kamana Manasa Gira Nikilasa Priyavasta to Jivan Mukta Sa Uchite. Even in this lifetime is Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta Sa Uchite. By practicing devotional service, even in this lifetime he can liberate himself. But because he's engaging himself in the service, he's found his constitution. But the Brahma Jyoti is not it's not the ultimate constitution. What is it? You can't explain it. As soon as you explain it, you give it qualities. As soon as you give any attribute to it, you're going to express it. It's okay. It's formless. It's bliss. You're giving it qualities. As soon as you do that, it's not formless anymore. It's not nirakar. It has qualities. It has all these things. And by nature, we know in our lifetime, we are so active, right? Is there any time when the living entity is not active? Every moment is active. Even in sleep, we are active. So how is it in the ultimate sense we just become dull? Nothing. So Prabhupada would argue like that. You have another question?
No, that was
okay.
Enough for tonight.
I'm glad you're still here. I think you're leaving soon? Next week. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
There was one verse in the Isopanishad where the prayer is, please remove your effulgence.
Yes, Prabhupada.
So in that way, it's covering.
Mm.
Even Krishna says, please remove your effulgence so I can see your two-armed form also in other words, another place. I have a comment, a correction.
Okay.
Don't mind.
Yes, sure.
The lady, the air hostess, was from South America, not Africa.
The story.
The story.
Yeah.
If memory serves well.
Okay.
Was in a South American.
Okay, you have proof on that, right?
No, we'd have to look in there, but it wasn't. He wasn't. The preachers were in South America.
Okay.
That part I remember.
Okay.
I don't know where he was giving the class.
Okay.
And where the topic came up, but she was living in South America.
Thank you for that.
And I thought that Prabhupada had divided the thing up after he'd eaten from it. It was probably in one of these aluminum, aluminum thing, papers.
Yeah.
Had given a batch of it. There were two of them sitting there. I don't remember. It was Shrutakirti and someone else, maybe Paramahamsa. And Shrutakirti was sitting in the middle next to Prabhupada, and the other one was sitting on the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
So the lady reached across into Shrutakirti's.
Took it from Shrutakirti, not
Shrutakirti's
from Prabhupada.
Bundles. It was like Maha from Prabhupada. And he was stunned because she reached into his plate.
Okay.
So that part I remember very well.
Okay.
So, but as far as that class, I don't know where the class
I got this from Prabhupada's, what is it, this year would have been? Last year's Prabhupada's disappearance, Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja offerings this year from Chaupati.
Chaupati.
Yeah, but the devotee's
like
name I don't catch.
Something removed.
That.
Sometimes you know when you tell a story, some of the points get a little
changed. That's why we need you to.
But I can remember. If you look in, well, you can ask Kusha also because Kusha will know.
Sure.
But if you look in that, what's the difficulty?
Yeah.
If you look in that volume, you'll find that story.
Okay.
I don't know about these Chaupati people.
Like you're saying, somebody must have read it, and maybe I was surprised. East Africa also. I said, but if I heard it from there, I said, okay, maybe somebody. I didn't read it. I heard it from there. So I hope so. Anyway, she got the mercy somehow, and somebody, she's got the mercy, huh? Anybody else would like to say anything, or anybody else wants to go to America? Okay.
Can I just say that I really enjoyed my class today.
I guess so.
Everything
that you said is nice to me.
I just wanted to say that.
So
thank you.
I guess so. Really
enjoyed my class.
I guess so. You wanted to ask something? Yeah.
So the last comment was that this one Mataji, as well as the rest of us, really enjoyed the class. Everything is very enlightening. I just have one question. Can we say that Krishna by himself is not compassionate? Maybe unadjustable. Maybe relentless. But I don't know if you could say that he was uncompassionate because he had a job for a reason.
Krishna,
you know, as Parashuram and Kalki.
Right.
So please
make
some comment on that.
Yeah. Krishna's main purpose to come is yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata tadatmanam sadamyaham. This fourth chapter, this verse, right? So Krishna comes to establish religion. Externally, he comes. There's other reasons, but this is the main reason. As he says, this is why I come. Whenever there's a decline in religion, then I come to establish this. So this is mayada. This is rules and regulations. He's come to establish something. Ram is known as Mayada Purushottam. When we see the pastime of Krishna acting, we don't see his energy, Radharani in Kurukshetra. She's not acting there. And in that state then he's fighting. In that state he's killing. But his killing is not just slaughtering, he's giving moksha. So he's doing his activity. He's working, his activity. We see in Ram when Shupanika came to captivate Ram. Because Sita was there, what happened? He just mutilated her. That was Ram. Lakshman cut off her button. So, but because Sita was there, he could not kill. She was a demon. But her energy of compassion is there, so he doesn't kill in her presence. He respects that kind of situation. But on the battlefield, when he tackled Ravan, Sita wasn't there. So in that way, he expressed his full authority of Mayada to establish. I'm here to establish. To establish as a Kshatriya means to fight, to kill even. When Kalki will come, that's the point. Well, liberation means what? How far does liberation go? It's five types of liberation. So if they're going to come back here, how compassionate is that?
Oh, yeah.
But but Krishna, the point is Krishna, when he acts as Mayada, as establishing rule, as authority, he grants liberation. But when he acts with his energy, when he acts with Radharani or Sita, then it's, he gives bhakti, devotional service, back to Godhead. Otherwise, liberation means it's not the complete thing. It's not the complete thing. Like, we're reading with this, it's just move your Brahma Jyoti out of the way so I can see you there. So it's only darshan, it's not service yet. It's only visual again. You want to see the point of the purport when it started. You just want to see only. But our duty is not just to see, it's to serve. That is what the jiva is designed to. That's when he's happy, in service. So if we serve through the process of the energy, engage me in your devotional service, then in that way, that's the authorized part. But if you approach directly, who knows what mood he'll be in? We don't know. We don't know Krishna's what mood he'll be in. But if we serve through the end, that's why we chant the word Hare is more times in the Maha Mantra than Krishna and Rama. To fight with. Yeah. But that is that mean that Krishna is feeling just to kill, the desire just to kill. So it's not just to kill. He's performing pastime there. It's not that Krishna is some. The Western idea of God is justice. God gives punishment. Like there's one Christian joke that says, if God gives punishment and hell is also punishment, then who is God working for? Hell is punishment, and God is giving punishment, so who is God working for? So it's like that. It's not just, this is why I missed that point actually in the class also. This is Raja Vidyam Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. It's 9th chapter text 2. This is, it's secretive, but it's not secretive that it's an open secret. It's an open secret. Everybody knows and heard about Krishna. But why is it Guhyam? And why is it Pavitram Idam Uttamam? Why is the topmost pure thing? Because the process of bhakti is service. Devim Prakriti Astata. The Mahatmas, when they take shelter there, they serve. And how are they serving? They're serving the divine couple, they're not serving Krishna only separately, and they're not serving Radharani only separately. They're assisting in the service to give them pleasure. Mm? So it's secretive, but what is the secret? That it's service, it's devotional. Have you read any other spiritual literature that says devotional service? Where? Nowhere. Only Prabhupada translates that, and he uses the liberty of translating that in every aspect, every chance he gets. Something else, something speaking about something else, you translate devotional service. There's so many. Prabhupada is criticized for that. Why your Swamiji is just, liberally using bhakti in everything? Then Prabhupada said that when the Lord and the devotee meet, what do you think they'll speak about? You think they'll talk about the news? They'll talk about the weather? They're going to talk about their relationship. When the love and beloved meets, it's their relationship. Hmm? Prabhupada describes it as baby pictures. He calls it like baby pictures. You know, you have children, so you know your children's baby pictures. If you come to a Sunday class and show it to them, oh, this is my little girl, this is my little boy, who's going to appreciate it? Nobody is going to really. But if somebody is close to you, they're going to say, oh wow, look at him, so cute, and look at her, hair was like this, and they're going to see all the details. Hmm? Because they connect, there's some intimacy there. Hmm? They know that it is close. And this is why the path of the acharyas is so important. Hmm? Mahatmanas tu mam partha. They have to go through the path of the mahatmas. This is mahatmana seva dwar aho vimukte. This is the path of the acharyas. If you don't serve the great souls, no way of getting the real thing. Hmm? It's very secretive, but the secret is an open secret. Hmm? So like that. So it's not that Krishna is just, is not merciful. What is his aspect of him? This is why in this present age we worship Lord Chaitanya. Hmm? Because he's a combination of the both. So we don't make the mistake. It's easier. Because he's the combination of Radha and Krishna. Radha Krishna is Radha Krishna Vikati Ladini Shakti Rasmat. Ekantiki bhava pura vedam sascho gatoto chaitanya kim prakata madhuna tadvayam chaikyam avtam radha bhava duti suvalitam krishna surupam. Is Radha and Krishna combined? So in that combined form, you don't make the mistake of thinking only the purusha or only the internal energy. It's combined with safer. That's why he's for the Kali Yuga people. Mm? So we don't make the mistake of just exclusively worshipping some. He's super compassionate. Lord Chaitanya didn't kill anyone. He came to establish the Yuga Dharma of chanting, but how did he do it? He said, you don't kill, you change the consciousness. Isn't it, Jagai Madai? You change the consciousness. You change the consciousness. That's the process of killing the demons in Kali Yuga. So that's why Lord Chaitanya is so precious to us, that if we try to follow him and his followers by doing the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, then the process is very simple. Otherwise it's extremely difficult. In the Brahma Samhita it's also Advaitam Achyutam Anadi Ananta Rupam Adya Purana Purusha Nava Yoganamsta. Krishna was saying here, he is unborn. Adya is the oldest person. Veda Sudullabha Atma Bhakto. You can study all the Vedas. You can put all the texts together. You use your fertile brain to try to work it out. It won't work. Atma Bhakto. We have to go through the devotee. Vedasa Durlava, Adurlava, Atma Bhakto. But through the devotee it's very easy. Because he knows the secret. He's in touch with the internal energy directly. He's absorbed in the internal energy. Therefore, if he's guiding you, the pure devotee, if he's guiding, his instruction is coming via the internal energy. Therefore, Prabhupada could just say, jump, who was it? Tejas Prabhu. He just told him, jump off here in Delhi, Delhi station, start the temple. Prabhupada, I had nothing, I only got my kit bag here, I jump off and start. But he took the words of a pure devotee and look now in Delhi, I think there's so many temples, there's a new temple coming up, there's a beautiful temple there. And Prabhupada wanted 14 temples for Delhi. So like this, if we just follow the words of the pure devotee, have faith in that, that's our, hear from Krishna, but he says, without doubt, the first verse, Maya Shakti Manapartha, Yogam Yunjan Madashraya, Asamshaya Samagrama, without doubt, Yasagyasnasi Takshinu, just hear from me, and without doubt you can go through this path, otherwise, it will be very difficult. If we try to figure it and, but it may sound like this, it looks like this, but Krishna is, saying this in one situation, saying like that, we will get confused, because we are giving our own purport, our own realization on it. But if we take what the acharyas are giving, that's why Prabhupada said, the only qualification I have, I just follow my spiritual master. I just do what he's said to do. I just follow. In that process of following also, in the perfected state in the spiritual world, that's what we'll also do. They're not short of us there. It's us who want service there in the spiritual world, right? So there, its service is already going on for the divine couple, for Krishna, Balaram, Gornita. It's going on there. But we want service. We want to come into that. And how? By proper training, as we clearing, Shraddha to Prem. Shraddha to Prem is nothing but bhakti. And then thereafter, the seven stages of prema that come up there, ending up in Madanakya, Mahabhav and all of that. It's so, when will we even reach those levels? How will we even try to figure that out? But if we use our own fertile intelligence, it's not going to be, it's actually impossible. One Howard professor was trying to understand Lord Chaitanya. When the Pathan soldiers captured Lord Chaitanya and he had like an epileptic attack. And this Howard professor says, hey, this sage, this Lord Chaitanya, fine, he's a great sage, but he's an epileptic sage. But they didn't understand what is sattvic abhavs. He's a scholar. So from his perspective, this sage is an epileptic sage, shame on him. Just try to help him, Because when the devotees came there and tried to explain, no, we'll take him, he's under our control. Don't worry. So when the scholar translated that, he said, oh, he's an epileptic sage, not understanding. What to speak of the more esoteric, deeper aspects of Ramananda Roy's pastime with the young dancing girls. Completely will misunderstand it. Completely. You cannot give Shastric Vedic, like that's what Prabhupada is saying in the translation also. The scientists, by their calculative measurements, how much you'll be able to understand by just seeing. The sun alone we cannot understand. What the sun is, just we'll end on this point. The sun is how far away? 93 million miles away from the earth. It's 14,000 times bigger than the earth planet. And it's a burning ball of fire. And Prabhupada says, have you ever tried to control fire? You ever tried cooking, right? You have to have a gas stove. In a small environment you can control. Have you ever tried to control an inferno? When a building is on fire, try to control that? He says, that is just one building in a city. What to speak of, if the whole planet is on fire? A raging inferno, just a fiery ball. And this sun is 14,000 times bigger than what we can even imagine. Where is the fuel coming from? Secondly, that has so much control, something has so much control over the sun that if it just moves slightly off, we'll become pakoras. And if it just moves slightly this way, we'll completely freeze to death. Is that not control? As control. So who's controlling that? Where is the fuel coming from that? We know we have to, fire means there must be fuel. Krishna says, I am the sun, Rasaham Apsakonteya Prabhasa Sasi Surya. I am the sun of the fire. That's Krishna. He's providing it there. You tell the scientist, no, he'll not accept it. Yet, I heard this from Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, if you take the sun, if you take the diameter of the sun, if it's a circle, it's right across. I said this a long time ago. You take the diameter of the sun, you divide it by the distance between the earth and the sun. It comes to 108. Then you take the diameter of the moon, you divide it between the distance of the sun and the moon, and that also becomes 108. Of course, that's by chance. You know, scientists will say, no, that's by chance. A person who discovered this is not even a Hare Krishna devotee. He says, it comes to 108. How is this possible? Oh yeah, the Vedic scripture says 108 is an auspicious number, you know. Who gave those dimensions? Who gave those measurements? So there's control. Control is Krishna. He's the supreme, sarva karana karanam, the cause of all causes. He's the one who's doing everything. And if that's why this chapter is so valuable to us, because right from material elements he's saying, I'm in all of this. You taste water, I'm in that. You want to hear sound, I'm in that. Your ability, pausaram narasu, sabdake pausaram narasu, comes from me. You hear the fragrance of the earth, that comes from me. And then the living entity, in the 19th verse of this chapter, it says, Jnanamam prapadyane vasudeva sarvamiti. If you study by Jnan, vasudeva sarvamiti, that's me there again. And then the demigods, conclusive of this, those are less intelligent, worship Alpamedasa. I give the understanding by which they come there. And then the last chapter, which we're starting tomorrow, Krishna actually gives the knowledge to the bewildered living entity, how to free from here. So he's directly talking about himself. Everything he's telling you, this is me, it's me, it's me. Everywhere you're looking, it's me. You think about sound, ether, it's me. Pranava. Everything. This is why the pure devotee never feels separate from Krishna. He's always seeing, he's connected to the internal energy in that way. He's always connected. Therefore, he's seeing nothing separate from Krishna. Everything is connected to Krishna. Everything is reminding him of Krishna. That's how the material world can be also a spiritual. That's how you can use a mic in Krishna's service. Otherwise, how will something like this be valuable, have any purpose? No purpose. He's the thread that joins everything. So, yeah, I think I'm speaking too much. Okay, anybody else? Anything to say? Anybody else? Okay?
Sorry.